Last month, I went to the eye doctor for my annual vision test, and after I tried to figure out the letters on the chart, he looked at me and said, "Well, it appears that the vision in your right eye has improved." And I said, "Is that even possible?" And he said, "Well, yes, that can happen sometimes." I said, "Or is it possible that I guessed that the letter is better this time?" And he chuckled and he said, "Well, that's also possible." So I left his office that day with improved vision, one way or the other. Our readings this fourth Sunday of Lent speak to us of vision, but not with our physical eyes, but an inner vision that we're called to possess, we're called to have. It's demonstrated wonderfully in our first reading from the first book of Samuel. Samuel is the prophet, and he's sent by God to Jesse's house in Bethlehem to anoint the next king to succeed King Saul. And the seven sons are assembled at a banquet. And Samuel goes to the first one, Eliab, and God says, "No, not him." And Samuel's kind of surprised by that. And God says, man sees by personal appearance, but God looks into the heart. And all seven sons are rejected by God to be the next king. And Samuel looks to Jesse and says, "Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse says, "One more out in the field shepherding." And he says, "We'll bring him in." And into the banquet comes David. And it is David who is anointed as the next great king of God's people. Seeing the way God wants us to see can be difficult sometimes. We see that most powerfully in today's gospel reading, chapter 9 in the Gospel of John, the healing of the blind man. He's healed at the pool of Siloam by Jesus, who takes clay and spit and rubs it into his eyes and tells him to wash them. And when he washes his eyes, he can see. The man is rejoicing that his blindness is gone. For back then, if you were blind or lame or diseased or a leper of any sort in any way, it was a sign that you had incurred disfavor with God, that God had rejected you, either for your sin or the sin of your ancestors. And so for this man to be healed was a whole new lease on life, to be rejoined with his family and his community. And when the word gets out that he's healed, and rather than rejoicing and happiness and celebration, there is concern and disfavor amongst the religious leaders because Jesus is healed on the Sabbath. He has broken the Sabbath law. The blind man doesn't know what to say. All he knows is that he can see now. The religious leaders are upset. They're not even willing to accept that it is the blind man. His own parents are not expressing joy. They're rather so concerned of upsetting the religious leaders. In this miracle, one person is rejoicing and all the others are upset by what Jesus has done. How can that be? How can they not see the healing that has taken place? But that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes we're failing to see what God wants us to see, that the Sabbath rule could not be more important than this man being able to see. The blind man first describes Jesus as the man who healed him, and then he goes on to call him the prophet. And then finally, by the end of this gospel, he acknowledges Jesus as his Lord. That man's vision from within continues to grow as his faith develops in who this Jesus is. And at the end, Jesus says, you're now free from your blindness, but the ones who were blind or all those people who could not see what God's glory was doing in this man's life, what God's glory was being revealed through such a healing. And that's the tragedy of this story. No one else is happy that a blind man can now see. Sometimes in our own life, we find ourselves in such situations where we're not seeing things the way God wants us to see. And we can really close off our life by being so myopic about our vision that if we're not seeing things the way we want them to be seen, then we're unhappy or we're not satisfied with what's going on. In our current situation with the pandemic, perhaps a hidden grace in this tragic episode in our lives is that it's opening our eyes to see things that perhaps we hadn't seen before. Perhaps this pandemic is opening our eyes to see that the world is a lot smaller than we thought. The global community is so connected. by the way we have to deal and confront this pandemic. Perhaps it's opening our eyes to see that our brothers and sisters are all of our people that are struggling and battling this disease and battling and working together on efforts to bring forth the healing that needs to take place. So in the midst of this, perhaps God is calling us to open our eyes to see things in a new way, a way that will make us a better community when we get through all of this. And wouldn't that be a grace for all of us to experience, for the Lord to give us the ability to see things in a new way about our world and about who truly is our neighbor and about all the wondrous gifts that God has given to us in the healing arts, in medicine, in research, in caring for people. In our second reading, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Now more than ever, in the darkness of what we face, we are called to be light. And we can only be that light when we take in the light that we are called to. And that is Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the light of the world." It is He and He alone that can give us the vision that we need to see things the way God wants us to see them, rather than ourselves, to rid ourselves of our own selfishness, of our own doubts, of our own fears, of our own concerns, and say, "Lord, give me your light that I can see what you want me to see right now and be the person that you call me to be right now," where measures need to be taken in our own families, in our own community, and in the world to become one with each other and one with God. May the light of the world shine as bright as it can in our hearts and in our lives and in our communities. Let us continue to pray for all those who are sick with this virus, all those who care for them, for their families who struggle at this time. And let us pray that we might see what God wants us to see at this very important time as we grow in faith and love of this Jesus, our light. Know how much I miss you all. And I wish God's blessings upon you and your loved ones.